Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This month we're doing Grab Bags, so James picked the movie Ex Machina. We bring you movie news, and this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston.
The Pixelated Fool.
So, who has a description for this week's movie?
I actually don't think I have it up right now.
I don't either.
Well, I guess I'll give it a shot.
I have Krampus up. You want to hear about Krampus? A boy who was...
Hey, no. We're not doing that one yet.
I was asking you a question.
Ryan, are you there?
Answer my question. A boy who has a bad Christmas...
Hey, let's actually talk about the movie we're doing.
Answer my question.
I don't want to hear about that yet. So, according to what I found, a young programmer is selected to participate in a groundbreaking experiment in artificial intelligence by evaluating the human... qualities of a breathtaking female AI.
Breathtaking?
That's what it actually says. Breath-taking.
I don't think I'd call her breath-taking.
I gotta say, though, that the...
Brian?
The CGI they did on this was pretty amazing.
It was amazing. I gotta give them that, too. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. I kind of picked this one not really knowing much. I just saw kind of the cover they had on Netflix and read the description they had on Netflix, and then when we go to watch it, they removed it on Netflix. Thank you, Netflix!
Uh-huh.
Anyways.
I don't think it was on Netflix. I think it came out like this year.
No, I know it came out this year, but it was on Netflix. I saved it in my...
It was on Netflix for a very short period of time.
Yeah, like a couple weeks, I think, or something.
The one thing I'm curious, and I wasn't able to actually find, was how that suit, that thing made her wear, actually worked. Because by the CGI look of it, it looks very uncomfortable.
It looks like they did something where they kind of did like the Borg-esque kind of thing.
Yeah, very form-fitting.
Where then the middle was, you know, just like a blue or green screen that they did something over. It was really well done.
I wonder if they did the woman who played Seven of Nine in Star Trek Voyager, Jerry
Ryan?
Ryan actually said she couldn't eat because the suit was so tight, you could tell.
That seems to be the case with that kind of stuff where you're trying to make somebody look really, you know, like a skeletal robot kind of thing, you know?
But this was one of the few times that anything like that I've actually really been impressed with. Because the animation and CGI on this looked really well done.
And the scenery. I got to give them up on the scenery, too. The area they picked was very well done. I don't know if that was Oregon or Iceland or Norway. Or what's the other one?
I got a real Jurassic Park vibe when he landed in the big open field of the chopper.
This is the closest I can get to the house. I do love... My favorite part of the whole thing is... I can't get closer to the house. Just follow the river.
Wait,
what?
Just walk.
I'm pretty sure I saw Ice Cube in a movie like this, and they were shooting at him.
Yeah, you're like, aren't some guys supposed to come and meet me out here with like an ATC or something?
Exactly.
No, you're going to get a trash can lid. Survive.
Yeah. And you got to kill somebody for their binoculars.
Yeah,
somebody comment if you understand what that's from.
Keep your head low. Get out of here.
We did. Real Flicks Reviews revealed it. Reviewed it. Revealed it.
Yeah,
close enough.
Revealed it in one of our old
films. Close enough.
God.
I was actually impressed with this movie. This movie is definitely a slow burn.
Yeah.
And it's slower than was it 12 Jurors?
Oh. Yeah, 12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men. I thought it was slower in some aspects, but generally had me interested through the whole movie, which I was actually impressed because
It's a slow burn for such a good reason, and the content in there was really thick. I mean, they really definitely tried to lay it on pretty good with the philosophy and sort of, because all of this is pretty much
theoretical.
The Turing test.
The Turing test is a thing, but I mean, all of this is sort of hypothetical as far as like what would this actually be like. So it really is like a true sci-fi, you know. Extrapolating sort of into the future and saying what would happen when we see this kind of thing.
And I'm happy they didn't add more drama. Because this movie to me was on the verge at certain times of being way too much. And then somehow they found that line and drew it back enough that it wasn't like, ugh, to me.
Well, I think they set everything up so damn well in the beginning.
They did.
you know, yeah. from the guy's James Bond lair to the, just the way he started talking to him when he first met him. I mean, it was, and well, even right from the beginning, right after the opening, producer Jurassic, sequence,
the Jurassic yeah. Park sequence.
Yeah. No, when he's looking at the computer and you can tell that something's reading his facial expressions, you're like, okay, I already got some kind of a spy vibe here.
Oh, yeah. I also love.
I don't want some sweaty guy lying on my bed that I'm supposed to sleep on, though.
Right. I also I do love how he said at the beginning, the kind of preference how he made the AI is, I just hacked the whole world. I thought that was funny because his comment was, everybody else is doing it and they're not going to stop me.
Well, that's kind of what you would have to do, is to get the feel for all humanity to try to get it to.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Its own code that you could do it, but you know, it's like we say, it's all hypothetical and theoretical right now, that you don't even really know if that would even work properly.
Oh no, right, totally.
Exactly. So you know, they definitely threw enough sort of basic science, like okay, you'd code these particular things, and then they definitely went off the scientific register with the liquid, you know, computer circuits and things like that. And
the brain,
which they're talking about doing now,
the brain thing, it was cool. I wish they explained more on how that worked, because that was actually something I thought was
AI.
Yeah, well, that brain, there was a scene where they took the guy into the different versions of the previous ones. That brain he made, it was like one of the more interesting parts of the movie, of how it wasn't, he said he had to make something that wasn't was more flexible than standard machines.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me about this flick was how they were able to take the real hard turn of like when she first cut the power and you first like I was like, oh man, this movie just took an awesome left turn on me.
Yeah.
That I kind of didn't see coming. You know, where she's like kind of like, hit the lights and get me out of here.
Yeah.
Essentially, like he's not who you think he is. I'm like, oh shit. You know, like it really, I was kind of taken aback by that. But they were able to turn it into this sort of psychological thriller that you almost didn't realize they were setting up without changing the pace one bit. You know, it kept the exact same pace, and it didn't turn into this big, like, everybody's running down hallways thing.
Which to me I like, because it didn't, I mean, it is a thriller, but it didn't feel as much as it could, which I was thankful for, because they didn't, you know, they didn't change the pace. It wasn't
slow. They were confident enough in their story and their plot that they were like, we're just going to tell this story, and then we don't have to rely on any kind of weird gimmicks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I am kind of glad, because you pointed out something that, that you're totally right on, that people may not understand what he's talking about. He's kind of meaning like it totally didn't turn into a Shining feel.
Yeah, like
where she goes completely psycho and starts slaughtering everybody, instead of what she did was just kind of get ready to go and leave and kill one person.
Or the guy when he's you know, sort of, you can tell he's slowly leading up to, like, there's something waiting for the other shoe to drop kind of thing.
Yeah.
He didn't turn into the psycho killer where he's grabbing knives and chasing them around the friggin' building, you know?
Yeah.
And I was, when James picked this movie, this was one I was actually avoiding, because I was really afraid it was going to be an iRobot or an AI-ish movie.
Yeah AI really kind of put a sour taste in my mouth.
Or so Bicentennial Man.
I had sort of a knee-jerk reaction to
it. I liked Bicentennial Man, though.
And what was the other one that just came out recently? There was one.
I was really afraid, and this movie, to me, didn't have anything, didn't really tie any, didn't have a feeling of iRobot or AI or any of those other movies that have a similar-esque idea, which was kind of breathtaking to me. Because some of those other movies.
It stayed off of really making big giant crazy leaps, you know, into future technology. It was like, hey, what if somebody just kind of figured this out? They leaned more on the philosophy of how he did it, as opposed to, you know, like hardcore science or something like that, which is just going to lose an audience, because none of us would have any idea what the hell they're talking about if somebody actually tried to explain the science of AI.
And I got to say, I know we talked about a little bit, but the sets, the guy's house in this movie,
Subterranean lair. It's not a house.
Well, was the perfect vehicle to tell this story, because this house is basically empty. There's nothing in this house that subtracts you from the story itself.
This movie was freaking three people, four if you count the chick, the speechless house
robot. Yeah,
she talked.
Sex slave.
She talked.
No, she didn't. Oh, she talked to Ava.
Yeah,
but I was saying, is the only parts of the only story the house told was of the robot. Even this guy was kind of really not there. Like, it was his room was pretty much empty.
Yeah, he was passing through type of feel.
Which I thought was perfect because you weren't looking going, oh, hey, look at that, look at this. You were solely focused on the interaction of the three, four people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and what's also awesome is they didn't make him like a bad guy. They didn't make him like the best way to make a villain is to have his thing not just be like kill everybody, burn the world, but
he was morally
believe in his cause. You know what I mean? Like when you tell that, you can tell that the villain has belief in what he's doing, like sort of the righteous villain.
And he was morally ambiguous. Was it ambiguous?
Yeah.
Well, he had his own sort of code and was doing what he felt was best, you know. It's the same reason why I really approved of the Zod character in the Superman movie. Was he was this like, no, he believes utterly in what he's doing. He feels like he's right and the other person feels like he's right and they're just at odds, you know.
Well, finally they're taking something from wrestling and having an actual heel that believes in something. Because that was honestly one of the things if you actually watch wrestling is every character, they're supposed to act like they believe in something. And Hollywood has these bad guys. They're just bad guys. There's no, they don't really, you can't believe they believe what they're doing. Like they have motivation, but it's no, you know, this guy was the perfect villain because it was subtle. Like you knew this guy was kind of an asshole, but it wasn't till the end when you really saw how big of a jerk he was.
Yeah, and if you were to ask him, he's not a jerk. He's the sane one. You know what I mean? Like, so it was this awesome kind of like where you don't sympathize with him, but you kind of understand where he's coming from.
Oh yeah, I have to say though, that towards the end of the movie, gonna spoil it a little. I was actually surprised she was so poorly made.
What do you mean? Yeah, she was made out of glass.
Yeah, I mean she, you know, pretty much breaking her arm in half, but. I love that whole scene. I love the fact there's pretty much like, there's not a whole lot of noise during that scene. I love the fact the knife just goes in there and they didn't add any sound effects to that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I loved that.
I'll tell you what, that was the everything, like you said before, the CGI in this was pretty staggeringly awesome. But that was some pretty bad CGI, that knife.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It was, but the fact there were no noise in that scene.
Yeah, right.
I thought that scene was beautiful just because it was.
You're dead.
Yeah.
It was eerie.
And it was an important scene, but at the end, it was important, but it wasn't. It was, I don't know, hard to describe, but I was really like, that's awesome.
Well, it was basically, you know, you took this sort of innocent creature and you turned her into basically like a radical, you know, you turned her into Old Boy.
Yeah. So
you know, you guys probably have not heard of Alex Garland before, right?
You know what?
This is the writer and producer of this film.
I have not. Not that I'm aware of.
Well, this is his directing debut.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Because he was a writer for 28 Days Later.
He did a lot of screenplays and writing before, but he's doing this one, and then he's got another one coming out called Annihilation.
Well, 28 Days Later was a freaking fantastic movie.
It was.
And this movie has a... this is going to sound odd. The feeling of this movie, like the pacing, kind of feels familiar as like Dread.
Yes.
So
he was a writer in Dread. He wasn't a director.
Well, I can feel his influence in the movie, if that makes sense.
In Dread, yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to say, for a director to come out with a movie, as Ryan was saying, where you basically have four characters, and to put it together like this with the way that he presented the CGI, the way he presented the technology, the way he did everything, I think this guy's got a lot of future ahead.
Yeah, I'd say even really the sound and everything.
Yeah.
Another question would be, Because I've repeatedly said in black and white movies, the black and white is another character. Do you think the house added was another character in this?
The house and the scenery around the house, the shooting location.
The emptiness of it.
Yeah, yeah, the vast emptiness of it and the isolation of it really added a lot to the movie.
Brian?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, I stand firm in the belief that this story could have been told with the characters sitting inside of a paper bag. That's how good the writing was.
Yeah, so amazing. I gotta get
and that's how interesting and sort of fleshed out the characters were. And kind of a sleeper of a movie. I really wasn't expecting it to be this good.
No, I wasn't either. I mean, like I said, I just picked it off of what I saw the cover of. And the description of it, and you know, I gotta say how big of a fan the old guy is on hardcore sci-fi. I'm actually disappointed that he wasn't here for this one.
Yeah,
He might have to come back and watch this one to see what he thinks of the sci-fi on it. Because this,
I would recommend this to him just as like a Saturday night. Hey, check this movie out, man.
Because to me, this is as hardcore sci-fi as you can really get.
And I'd also say, I talked about it a little bit, I generally don't really mention the score a whole lot or the sound effects, but in this movie, the lack thereof.
You really like the dancing scene. What are you talking about?
Well, no, because I really like the trend like they did in No Country for Old Men, that music doesn't necessarily have to enhance a scene.
Right. Yeah.
I loved that in this movie. Like when they had music to it, I thought it really added to it. Like the dancing scene, I thought it could see like how out of control this guy kind of is. It was a view into his madness type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just a little bit of the psychosis. That was so funny. I love that scene.
It was the Nemo scene in the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea where he's playing the organ.
Now you guys remember, you know how I feel about Blade Runner, right?
Yes, I'm pretty sure at this point everybody does.
All you dumb geeks out there, this is what I say is what sci-fi should be when it advances itself. Not the crap of Blade Runner, but something like this. This has advanced sci-fi, I think, in a really big way. If you guys are sci-fi fans and haven't seen it, watch it, shut up, eat your crap, eat Blade Runner, and shut it.
By the way,
I want to see you eating the disc.
If you're gonna comment and or send email, send it to him.
Yes, and it better be a video of you eating Blade Runner while you watch this film. I mean the box, the paper, the plastic, and the disc.
Somebody's gonna need some iron or plastic in their diet.
Just eat, you know, baby laxative as you're doing it. It'll go right through you. Jeez.
Yip and yimini.
You know, I know you're gonna ask me. I think this one for me it was a totally sleeper of a movie, as Ryan said. This one really blew me away with a lot of the aspects of it. I think it's a 5.
I'm very careful in what I give a 5. I try to be, but I'm with James. This is a straight 5 out of 5 from everything. The writing, directing, the use of sound, the characters in it. The fact that the house itself is very empty. Everything about this movie to me is it's a 5 out of 5.
I still don't think the AI girl was breathtaking. I'm sorry.
I thought the animation, the way they did it, I thought was pretty breathtaking. I would really say that,
but I don't know. I don't think she took my breath away.
Yeah, man. Like I said, dude, I think the story, the writing was so good it could have been told, you know, in a box. So everything else just sort of added this like bonus to it. Like, oh, I get the ambiance of this dude's underground subterranean lair.
Everything else was accoutrements.
But and then there really was no score. It was all ambiance and little subtle sort of music stings and things like that. Minus obviously the disco scene, which was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
It's his Nemo scene.
Yeah, for sure. But
not Finding Nemo, you bastards.
I loved how the characters were instantly human. You know what I mean? It wasn't like some weird archetype where it's like, oh, okay, this is a character that I've seen a bunch. They were people. And how they developed the AI's character. Be great storytelling. I mean, something I'd recommend to pretty much anybody. Yeah, this is a total 5.
And her character was subtle, too.
Yeah.
That's the part I liked about it the most.
The look she gave him when she left.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so cool.
How screwed would you be? You're stuck in a room and there's no way to get out.
Yeah. And I gotta say, Alex Garland, you really made me take notice of you on this one. I mean, your writing career, you just went under the radar on that for me. But so
you gave it a 5 out of 5, right, Ryan?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, this was a freaking awesome movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I was gripped in like 5 minutes, like sitting there, like you said, sort of that trend with the No Country. You know, you get that 10 minutes of just like visual and you're just like, okay, what's going on? Okay, I noticed this, I noticed that, I noticed this. And you're just sort of piecing it together in your head, you know.
As a guy who loves movies, movies without soundtrack actually have a tendency to make me watch it more. Because the music is not actually forcing me to go, okay, it's doing this, I'm done, you know, wait another minute.
Yeah.
Because for me, the music gives everything away.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like a video game. School, you know, if you were lucky enough to have a teacher like this, I had this history teacher who talked in such a slow, deliberately paceful way, and he had these sort of deliberate pauses right before he was about to say something interesting, and you're just, I mean, like every 3 seconds on the edge of your seat waiting for him to finish a sentence.
Bueller?
That's because you were stoned, Ryan. That was drugs.
Now, that was third period. Stoned for lunch.
So I do want to let you all know that we do have a Facebook page. You love us. You hate us. We'll
YouTube
read you
videos
on...
of you eating Blade Runner.
We'll read you on air if you're actually creative instead of saying the fat guy sucks, which, by
we
the way,
we might actually have
guy?
You doing, you know, eating it.
James's opinion on Blade Runner is not necessarily the opinions shared by Real Flips Reviews.
Bingo.
Just everybody sitting here.
So it's James's pick to do movie news.
We are about a year out from a movie that I've been waiting for close to 25 years.
Beyond the Thunderdome 2.
I don't think that's been out for 25 years, has it? Shit.
It's got to be pretty close.
I know. That's why I'm like, wait a minute. Is that actually right?
Yes. It's pretty damn close. It came out in the late 80s.
Doctor Strange has just added more members to their cast. Mm-hmm. Now, the one that makes me stick out, it's rumored, it has not been verified yet, is Mads Mikkelsen. Can anybody name who that is?
What's the name?
Mads Mikkelsen.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah.
Did you guys like Casino Royale?
Yeah. Oh, the bad guy.
The blood guy.
Really?
Blood is rumored to be in here. Dude. They have not said who he's going to be. I hope he's a bad guy. Now, the guy from Serenity, the movie, not Firefly, Serenity, the black movie, guy? Is Baron Mordo. Yes.
No, nice.
So I'm excited for that.
Wait. He's playing the bad guy.
Yeah. He's awesome. Playing one of the bad guys. I'm not sure if Mads Mikkelsen's going to be a bad guy too, but I want him to be.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously he could definitely he's kind of
I never trust him. Villain. I never trust that guy. Any role he's in, I'm just like, dude, I'm watching you.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
You are a believer.
Dude, I seriously hope he's actually in it, cuz I love that. I'd love to hate that guy's character in Casino Royale.
Seriously, yeah, seriously. I'm with James on this one, man. This one in Deadpool, I've been really looking forward to for a long time. So when they get announced, you know, all these comic book movies and shit come out, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, keep coming out. I'll keep watching them because I'm a geek. But yeah. There are certain ones. It's like, oh, please do this eventually.
There's three they that I'm
Deadpool and Doctor Strange.
Fact they're making a Deadpool movie true to the comics in some degree to me is awesome. Because how many people know that aren't geeks? The fact that
is
he
that
knows
be NC-17.
I hope so.
Oh no! Well, it's not going to be NC-17. It is going to be a hard R.
It should be NC-17.
I just can't wait till you know that he pauses the movie and kind of just talks to the audience.
See, that's what I'm wondering. Is like, how far are they going to take that, or is he just gonna be sort of sarcastic and or is it gonna be like this meta situation like it always is?
There was a part, what was it, one of the trailers, he was kind of breaking the fourth wall a little bit, so I'm hoping they continue that. I hope they do that instead of the sarcastic part.
Yeah, because well, my I favorite like the sarcastic part, so
well I like that, but my favorite thing of Deadpool is he just talks shit about the comics and the writers, and you know,
I wonder if he's gonna talk crap about the directors, producers, and writers.
And Ryan Reynolds.
Well, that's not hard to do. So for me, there's only three comic book movies that I really like. It's Wolverine, the Hulk, and Doctor Strange that really made me stand up and take notice. You guys have butchered the Hulk.
Yes.
You have slaughtered the Wolverine.
That's a bingo.
Now, do you see what finger I have Doctor Strange for? Benedict Cumberbatch. if you screw it up, dude, I am going to be so pissed.
I think he, so pissed. As long as he doesn't play it like Sherlock, I think it'll be amazing.
Why on earth would he do that?
That's what I want to say.
Well, I'm just, that's the only thing I could think of is them playing Doctor Strange a little stiff. Like, well, Sherlock.
No, look, he's going to play him like a character. There's enough source material where you know what the character's like.
Yes, but he
Benedict Cumberbatch is definitely a good enough actor to...
Well,
to
he played Khan kind of stiff, though.
Well, that's kind of what I'm... That's the only thing I could see of is not Benedict Cumberbatch doing that, but the director kind of directing him to do that. That's just... I would love to see more range out of a character who has more range.
Yeah. You know,
I don't think they picked Benedict Cumberbatch because they saw Sherlock and was like, I need him to do that, you know?
Well, I hope so.
But do you see Benedict kind of being like a younger Christian Bale? Ryan, I'm asking you because I am not that big of a fan of Benedict. I'm really not.
Christian Bale, no, I am. Way. I'm a huge Sherlock fan.
But do you see him have the range that Christian Bale does from going from like American Psycho to Equilibrium and pulling it off?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, he just plays...
Because those are two diametrically different roles that he pulled off.
No, but listen, speaking sort of... this is kind of ironic, or a coincidence, not irony, never mind. but he just played Alan Turing in a movie.
I want to see that, by the way. I still haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, I haven't
so
either.
So played a very... you know, sort of bizarre gay character, which is almost antithetical to the Sherlock Holmes character. So he can definitely pull opposite roles off.
That was one of the movies I wanted to see before I see this movie when it comes out, because all the roles I've seen Benedict Cumberbatch in, granted, it's been limited, they're very stiff.
Yeah.
Sherlock has
some eccentric things that he does.
Well, yeah, true. On Sherlock, it's more eccentric. On Khan, it's more psychopathic. But it's a little stiff. And I've heard this movie, he was more of his range comes out, and that's what I want to see.
Yeah, you saw it though, Ryan. Imitation Game.
What's that?
You saw Imitation Game.
No, I haven't seen it yet. I just knew that he played Alan Turing.
So if James has no movie news, I've got a couple.
That was all I really got. There's only other crap out there that I don't want to talk about. Warcraft.
Yeah, well, there's a couple. One thing, talk about the Hateful Eight. With all the crap you've come out in the news with Tarantino.
I don't give a shit.
I'm wondering if you guys have kind of, do you think Tarantino has... You know, by being in the media too much lately, do you think he's kind of rubbed off his...
I crossed the line by jumping on the bandwagon, but you're jumping on the bandwagon and being a douchebag, so shut up.
What did I miss?
To do with the movie.
Well, without getting in too much into politics, he got into the, you know, all cops are killers type of thing.
Oh.
Well, and so that was my wondering is there's two thoughts of this one. Is one, the Weinstein Company is going to use this and it's going to be a big box office release, or this is going to bomb. I mean,
I don't think this is going to have any, I mean, that statement or anything like that is going to have anything to do with how his movies are going to do. Anybody who likes Tarantino movies, if he's making movies from prison for going to jail for treason, we're still going to watch his movies.
How to make Pruno in 5 Easy Steps.
Well, I got to say one thing. I mean, you know, I'm a Quentin Tarantino fan.
Me too.
Minus Jackie Brown. Him stepping out and acting like this, it's really stupid and childish. Just shut your mouth. Make your movies.
But this is not going to be a Jackie Brown.
This film is not going to be a Jackie Brown. It's going to make him money.
And this is a movie that I've legitimately been looking forward to, so I'm going to see it no matter what. But I was curious what you guys thought, because... This, what he said, has been giving this movie a lot of negative light.
Yeah.
And for a movie with Kurt Russell and a bunch of other people I like, you know.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, come on. It's Snake fucking Bliskin, man. The other one is, have you seen and or are you excited about Warcraft, the movie?
I tried watching the trailer today. It wasn't loading, so I just kind of moved on. I wanted to see the trailer, though.
I've seen half the trailer because I wasn't able to watch the rest of it. I'm actually excited because I'm a sucker for fantasy.
But, you know,
I'm not holding out hope for this. This is going to be a Dungeons & Dragons movie.
You know,
and
Dungeons & Dragons movie? Are you talking about the one with the Wayans brothers or the other ones?
Marlon Wayans. Marlon Wayans.
I'm sorry, the other ones, were there more than the stupid-ass movie with the Marlon Wayans?
Oh, they get worse.
Yes, they do.
And I've seen them all. They get a lot worse.
See, I don't know, man. The Dungeons & Dragons movie was one of the worst movies that's ever been made.
Jackie Brown.
It's remarkably bad. Like, it's so bad. Brown. Go and watch it just like on a Saturday night where you're feeling masochistic.
What was the other one? That Aragon or what the hell was that?
Oh, Aragon? The one about the dragon?
Yeah.
The Aragon.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. That one was worse.
I think that's pushing it a little.
They're pretty close. You'd have to watch them side by side on literally split screens to figure out which one.
Yeah, to really pull the differences apart.
True.
Are you going to do Star Wars news?
Well,
you really going to do Star Wars news?
Well, yes.
If you are, then I gotta go.
Well, no. Well, no, it just, this is more of a little bit of a guessing about the movie. Not actually about news, but there's been some blogs lately saying
I don't even Skywalker. Want to hear fan theories, for Christ's sake. Can you
Why not?
Because I don't want to have these thoughts clouding my head when I go into the theater.
The only fan that got the preview for it, they killed, okay? They killed him off. Think about that. That was George Lucas. There's a fan theory for you.
James Stevens' opinion and reviews do not necessarily reflect the opinion of Real Flix Reviews and Old Guy Tech TV.
They had to keep him quiet.
Although I do agree with you. They silenced that guy. There's no doubt about it.
And Ryan's opinion doesn't necessarily reflect the opinion, reviews,
allegedly,
and Old
Guy. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Now what do you got to say?
Sorry, I'm very sorry for the family's loss, but he basically lived out his fanboy fantasy.
Okay, I'll keep my mouth quiet because I'm gonna get Real Flix Reviews sued if I keep going.
Okay, I do have one question. If Jar Jar Binks is in this movie, how would you like him to die?
Maybe, like, I don't know, tie his tongue to the yoke of a horse and then whip the horse or something. I don't know.
I kind of want to see him like Emperor, was it Palpatine? I want to see him do like the electrocution on him.
Palpatine?
Yeah.
Palpatine, what the hell?
I don't know how to say his fucking name.
Palpatine.
Close enough. Sounds like an antacid.
Wow, you're a movie reviewer, for Christ's sake.
Yes, I've also avoided...
Obi-Wan Kenobi?
I've also kind of avoided the new Star Wars. It's been kind of a while since I've seen it.
He's not Yogi. He's Yoda. Yoda.
Hey, but he's smarter than the average bear, or whatever thing he actually is.
I'm still laughing at the things going on in my head that would get us sued right now.
Oh, jeez.
I can't even think of the way that I'd want Jar Jar being stunned, but let me just put it this way. It would not be a rated R film if it went the way that I want.
Okay, another, I guess, on a lighter note. any of you interested in Kung Fu Panda 3?
No.
No.
Hey, so you didn't like any of the other ones?
I mean, the first one was pretty good, but, you know, okay. And I'm interested in Jack Black having a long and prosperous career.
Playing
but,
pretty much
I'm
the same
definitely
character.
Not the demographic for Kung Fu Panda 3.
Jack Black.
I mean, come on, Jack Black pretty much plays the same character in every movie he's in.
Well, that's one of the sort of the downsides of the new voice acting situation.
It's just like Adam Sandler.
Because they sound like the celebrity that they are. Whereas voice actors back in the day, they made a living on sounding like 100 different things.
Yeah, true. You know? So next week is Ryan's pick, and we're all...
And hold on, I got to throw in... Now, we didn't watch Into the Badlands, folks, because I was wrong, and it comes out next week. And we took 2 weeks off, so it was like 3 weeks out that I was wrong, so are we going to do that next week?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So Ryan gets to pick a movie.
So what is your movie, Ryan?
Well... I didn't give it much thought.
Oh, no.
Do I need to pull up my list again?
No. Well, because
you want to phone a friend?
I think we were talking about next time doing movies that we own, right?
Yeah.
That's the only one that I sort of thought of, and that's because I thought of it when you said it, because I don't own too many movies these days. I watch everything through streaming websites and whatnot. So it's a few movies that I have hard copies of. So that's the only one that I could think of off the top of my head, but I don't want to use that because it's a pretty good movie.
So how about can I pick a movie for you?
Well, you can throw it out there, and if it's shitty, then I'm just going to post it online in a couple of days.
How about No Country for Old Men?
Then we did
that
one.
I think we already did that one.
Do it again.
I think we did.
Spanglish, Ryan.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes 2?
No, fail, John.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know what Spanglish. I'll tell you what. Let me roll this over for a day. By the time this gets posted,
I got one. I got one more to throw out to you. You ready?
Okay.
Memento.
Dude, that's the one I was gonna pick that I owned.
Matchstick Men.
What's the movie with that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
Shit. I don't believe I've completely forgot the guy's name.
What was that movie with that guy?
Ryan, I got another one right up your alley. Wonderland.
Nah, not Wonderland either.
Oh God, who's the guy? Your favorite Western guy? I forgot his. Clint Eastwood. Exactly. The one about Clint Eastwood being a racist old guy.
Gran Torino?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a little heavy.
Hear no evil, see no evil?
Okay.
Attack of the Killer Clowns?
Just because John's recommendations suck so bad.
Hey, I'm just screwing around.
I'm going to pick literally one of the... In my opinion, one of the greatest comedies that has ever been made, hands down, Trading Places.
Wow. All right. A movie that he wasn't born to see, alive to see.
Who?
You.
Yeah, Ryan, you were not born to see movies.
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah,
I mean, you weren't alive when this movie came out, I meant.
Yeah, well, I wasn't alive when freaking Forbidden Planet or dumbass 50s movie we watched that one time.
Yeah, I think it was Forbidden Planet.
With space and 60s furniture.
Of course, and porno music in the background.
It gotta be better than Super.
I can argue that.
You lose. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching Real Flix Reviews. Next week, we're doing Trading Places.
And Into the Badlands.
I gave the movie Ex Machina or Ex Machina, however you want to say it, out of 5. 5 out of 5. James gave it a 5 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 5 out of 5. And as usual, thank you for watching. We'll be right back.